grant those you stir to a sense of devotion, a gracious hearing when they cry out to you. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen. The Lord be with you. A reading of the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong." And he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he said to him, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." The Gospel of the Lord. In the holy name of Jesus, amen. Well, here we are at the end of our Lenten midweek sermon series, Unsacrificed. It seems like it's flown by. Throughout this series, we have looked at characters in the Passion who were close to Jesus, yet were unwilling to relent and sacrifice what they had to receive what Jesus wanted to give. The chief priests lost their power. Herod lost his status. Pilate lost the truth. And Judas lost his security. None is closer to Jesus, though, than the person we meet tonight. The criminal on the cross who is literally hanging next to him. Oftentimes, we focus our attention on the good criminal who turns to Jesus in his last hour and says, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." To which Jesus replies, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." But the bad criminal makes an altogether different request, which comes in the form of a demand. "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." What the bad criminal doesn't realize is that by not saving himself, Jesus was actually saving him. I think it's safe to say that the bad criminal has a false perspective on the situation and the suffering that is before him. Unlike the good criminal, the bad criminal doesn't acknowledge his guilt or the fact that he deserves death for what he's done. He just wants to be taken down from the cross so that he can go on living life as he had been, as a criminal, as a thief. He sees his suffering not as a consequence of his actions or as a means for repentance and change, but as an unfair obstacle to living the life he wants to live, no matter how dangerous that life is to him and to others. Too often, we, like the bad criminal, concoct a false perspective of the pruning and suffering that we're going through. We just want to be taken down from our cross and live our lives the way we want to live them. Sometimes we even get so frustrated at our situations with our suffering that we too question the power and divinity of Jesus. Are you not the Christ? Are you not the Son of God? Then why don't you remove this pain and suffering and grief that I'm going through? In this Christian life, on the way to glory, being taken down from the cross, escaping the pain and suffering and pruning is not the answer. Whether it is suffering or pain we deserve or not, if our perspective is to only escape it and run away from it, we lose the true perspective on life. We actually lose sight of paradise. Now, I'll admit to all of you, I have been suffering quite a bit lately with shame of the past and uncertainties of the future, lies that come from the devil, along with the pruning of sin and unhealthy expectations that Jesus is really working on me. I've been trying to jump down from my cross, ignore the pain, ignore the lies, and escape the suffering. But what I have found over these last few months, that it's all been to my detriment when I tried to do so. And it wasn't until this past Friday that I got up fairly early and drove to Chicago to meet with my spiritual father for a spiritual tune-up. He began in his gentle and winsome way to kindly change my false perspective. After I rattled off all of the things that have been plaguing me, all of the things I just want to run away from, he comforted and challenged me with a line that his spiritual father once said to him. There must be some good in this somewhere. There it is. There must be some good in this somewhere. This is the perspective of Jesus and the good criminal. This is what they could see as they hung on the cross. This is what the bad criminal refused to see. That even in this pain and suffering, there must be good in this somewhere. This perspective has its source and its destination in Jesus. It ends in paradise and the fullness of the kingdom of God. The good that Jesus is working in our suffering, in our pain, and even in our grief is freedom. Freedom. It's victory over our sin and our past and our shame, and it really is growth in holiness. Jesus doesn't expect you to change this perspective of yours on your own. He's also not going to force it onto you or beat you into submission. Instead, he welcomes you to place your suffering and wounds and pain and grief into his suffering and wounds. His side is opened for you to place all of those things next to his heart. When those things are next to his heart, our suffering is united with his. He remembers us, and we in turn remember him. And he invites you again tonight through the Eucharist to take his body that has suffered into your body that is suffering. There's the good. There's the true freedom, and there's the change of perspective. We can only get to the empty tomb by the way of the full cross. And so I'm going to go a little long with my sermon tonight because my boss isn't here. And this is the last midweek Eucharist. If you would, and you feel safe in this place, close your eyes. Open up your hands in front of you. And in your hands, place all of the things that you have been suffering with. All of the things that have caused you grief. All of the things that have caused you anxiety. Take a moment now to realize the toll that that's had on you. And now, if you're willing and able, give that back to Jesus. Place that into his side. And receive from him the sweet balm of healing, the full forgiveness, the immeasurable mercy. As my spiritual father said to me, once you give it to Jesus, don't take it back, because that would make you a thief. And now, with open hands and open wounds, may you welcome paradise into yourself. In the holy name of Jesus, amen. Please stand. For all brothers and sisters in Christ throughout the world, that we may prepare and enter this holy week in fervent prayer, let us pray to the Lord.
O Lord, hear my prayer. O Lord, hear my prayer. When I call, answer me. O Lord, hear my prayer. O Lord, hear my prayer.